The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DK Network. However you're taking us in this morning, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's Friday after Thanksgiving. One last day to wish you a happy Thanksgiving, Kelly.
That's right.
That's it. That's we did it.
You got to shut it down at 5 p.m. tonight.
No more happy Thanksgiving.
Close of business. Today. You got to shut it down.
Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I don't know. I mean, we talked about it. We were on the air yesterday. It was like, well, the Lions kick off here in about an hour. It's going to be either good or bad based off of that. So, yeah, as good as it could have been, considering the Lions looked absolutely horrible.
Yeah, we'll get into that momentarily. Just to let you know on the show today, a little bit of everything, including not only, of course, pro and college football, but F1 and boxing. How's that for the randos out there today? Al Bernstein will join us a little later on, talk some boxing. Benavidez and Andrade fight this weekend. And F1, because of the success of Tim Bobbitt last week, we're going to talk F1 Abu Dhabi with him this week. You want some F1 action? You got some F1 action with
us. He killed it last week.
He killed it, yeah. Man. First of all, though, and by the way, Chris Felica, Dr. Bob on college football. That's a little later on. Jason Weingarten a little earlier than normal from Under a Cloud of Smoke, among others. Paul Carr also on the Premier League. We got to talk about these games yesterday. First of all, I just want to just my heartfelt condolences to anybody who had the Lions in Survivor yesterday. Circa Survivor, 372 entered. As you know, there is a Thursday, Friday specific stipulation with the Black Friday game today being included in the three from yesterday, with the three from yesterday as a week unto itself. Boy, oh boy. 218 gone yesterday, 216 of which were on the Lions, one on the Seahawks, one was a no entry, if you can believe that. I guess somebody didn't get the specific Thursday-Friday memo for this week. So we are down to 154 left in Survivor. And more will be eliminated today because 32 are on the Dolphins, 5 are on the Jets. The reason I point this out is twofold. One, just to let you know that if you recall, after week 7 of this year there was more than 1,200 entries left. And last year, there was only 125 left after 7 weeks. And you're like, wow, I mean, what a difference in years. The percentage now is almost identical as to how the rate of eliminations. Last year at this point, 98.84% of entries had been eliminated. Right now, same time this year, 98.34% of entries has been eliminated, with, again, more pending today. But I just want to my condolences to those who have the lines, because let me just say this. I, too, would have had them. I, by the way, who have not been in this contest since the Eisenhower administration. I believe that's when I was knocked out of this thing. The cruelty of this thing is, though, is that because everybody had a plan for Thanksgiving, and 216 entries were from folks who had planned to have the Lions for this day, hosting the Packers. They had saved the Lions through the Lions' good portion of the year. And by the way, let me just say this, all that incoming I took on the Lions, not having them in my top 10, and then the Ravens curb stomped them, and then all those voices quieted. Now you know why I never kind of had them above 10. But who was down compared to everybody else on the Lions, who could have seen this coming yesterday? Especially because planning on the Lions for Survivor was worked out perfectly because the Packers were a complete MASH unit yesterday, didn't have multiple players on offense and defense, and they get just beat from just beginning to end in this game. And I do mean from beginning to end, because yes, the beginning will get the headlines, but I want to talk about the end too. Beginning, Packers go down the field, they score 7-0. Lions do match it, although they miss the extra point. This is still the first quarter. Packers come right back, 10-play, 75-yard drive. It's 14-6. And then the shenanigans began. The old Jared Goff showed up, right? 2nd and 12 with their own 23. Goff sacked by Rashawn Gary. He fumbled. Jonathan Owens, Mr. Simone Biles to the house, 20-6. Carlson missed the PAT. So it's already a 2-touchdown game. We're still in the first quarter. By the way, Goff fumbled right after that again, but it didn't hurt the Lions. It ends up being a two-score game until the second half, when the Lions do take the opening drive to the house. They get a 2-point conversion. It was 23-14 Packers at that point. And I know that, first of all, we're talking it through the lens of Lions survivor players. Forget about everybody like myself who had the Lions against the spread, or how the books made out with everybody who had the Lions in a teaser, which was the biggest carnage of them all.
Yep.
But imagine this through survivor players who, again, 23-14, they're down. And then after a Packers punt, the Lions get the ball back 4th and 4 at their own 23. We're still in the third quarter, Kelly. You're down 9. And Dan Campbell says, let's fake this punt. They snap it to the up back, Jalen Reeves-Maben, and he is absolutely stuffed for no gain. And then that's a short field. Love to Watson from 16 out. Watson was great yesterday, by the way. Jordan Love was great yesterday.
They were
great. 29-14, even though the 2-point conversion failed. And you're right back to a 15-point game. And by the way, the next drive, 4th and 7 at their own 31, they go for it, and Goff is sacked, and he fumbles again. Rashawn Gary with his 3rd sack of the day. So, I mean, it was over. And here's the part I really want to focus on, because I know this, that's frustrating enough to immediately start poorly and get out to a 2-score deficit. But they're down 2 scores. This is in the 4th quarter now, Kelly. And this is the part that, to me, for as much as people want to give Dan Campbell guff for that 4th and 4 and faking the punt and it not working out, and he stood up there and he took it like a man, this is the part that was the most damning to me. Down 15, they showed no urgency whatsoever. None. And if I could imagine, I was watching it through the people who were still alive in Survivor who had them. They must have been screaming at the television.
You texted me that, and I was just had gotten done screaming at the television. I was like, what are you doing? Like, hurry up.
I was like, do y'all know that you're down 15 here? And they lollygagged it down the field. By the way, there was a 4th and 7 on that drive from their own 12. They got to 4th and 7 at the Green Bay 12. And Greg Olsen, who everybody's praising as being really good, he was shocked that they would go for it down 15. I don't know what everybody was praising him for. I was like, no, Greg, they actually have to go for it here. And it didn't work out. They would not convert that. They would get the ball later, because the Packers then matriculated, right? Jordan Love had a 37-yard run. They would get the ball finally late in the game. They would convert a 4th down. They would get it in the end zone to Josh Reynolds, and then a 2-point conversion to LaPorta. But by that point, in 29-22, there's 41 seconds left in the game, and they had to recover an onside kick, and it didn't happen, and that was ball game. But by the way, that was funny when I texted you them earlier in the game when they were down 2 touchdowns in the very first quarter. Actually, to me, the funniest part was Kelly and I leave here at night. We're left at Circa yesterday at 9 a.m. Pacific. We hadn't had any communication till about 10 whatever.
Right.
And at this point, the Packers are down 2 scores. And all Kelly texts me is, obviously. Apropos of nothing, but I knew obviously knew exactly what you were talking about. I'm like, oh, I mean, of course.
Well, it's
our old communication.
It's one of those, if you just didn't watch the NFL all season, right? You would have sat down and watched this game yesterday, and you're like, wow, this whole Jordan Love thing really worked out for the Packers.
Yes.
They must be leading this division right now. They're getting to the quarterback. On offense, the quarterback looks amazing. Christian Watson's doing everything we saw last year.
Yep.
And whoa, this pass rush is just getting it. Jared Goff nonstop.
And this Matt LaFleur sure is going to be coach of the year, right? Like all of that stuff. But what I said before, they're like, how do we know he's going to suck? He's been holding a clipboard for 3 years.
And on the other side, it'll be like, well, same old Lions. Like, they must be mediocre again.
Oh, boy, it kind of feels like same old Goff, same old Lions. Can Campbell be a coach? Like,
don't get it.
Here's the thing. Here's what I'll ask you about this game. And we'll talk about the other two as well as today's game, Black Friday game between the Dolphins and the Jets. Are the Lions now, in your opinion, closer? You have to answer one way or the other. Closer to a number one seed? Obviously, now with 3 losses, the Eagles still have 1 pending this weekend's game. Or are they closer to not winning the division, still having 2 games left against the Vikings?
Man, I think I have to answer that way. Just because there's still 2 teams that could beat them to that one seed. And yes, the Vikings are at worst a scary unknown to people out there, right? With Dobbs at quarterback and with Justin Jefferson coming back here at some point. Yeah, I think that they're closer to that. They are closer to being in a fight for the division.
Right at the moment, again, with Sunday games pending, obviously the Eagles and the Vikings still have to play their respective games. But the Lions are 1.5 games behind the Eagles in the standings. Eagles 8-1, Eagles 9-1, Lions 8-3. And they're 2 games currently at the moment ahead of the Vikings, 8-3 versus 6-5. But again, 2 games left against the Vikings.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that's the amazing thing about this league. But that lack of urgency late in that game, and I'm sorry, by the way, for those who had the Lions in Survivor, I know I hate to make you relive it because I know you know all this, but it's just that's how cruel Survivor is. For those of us who have been here even longer, later into a season than this, I know this was not one of the worst beats. Like, some of us have lost as a 17-point favorite when we were on the Rams versus the Jets, famously, a few years back, later in the season. But as far as the fact that you had to plan for Thanksgiving in Circa, this was largely the team that people planned for. The confluence of events of the Green Bay MASH unit worked out even more in your favor. You had to feel like, easy peasy. And then this.
Yeah.
Just from beginning to end.
This team's becoming, I know we're going to hit on the Cowboys here next, but this is, like, the Cowboys, nothing has surprised me really this year. Like, the fact that they are bullying bad teams.
Total bullies. Like,
that's not surprising me. I know we love to talk about the Cowboys nationally, but this Lions team, 10 times more confusing. Like, I feel like I understand what the Cowboys are. The Lions, they've looked amazing at times this year, and they've looked absolutely horrible. But yesterday was one of them.
This was kind of my point as to why I never had them that high in the rankings, right? It's like, beat somebody besides the Chiefs the first Thursday of the year, which I know people are like, but it's still a game. Yeah, but it's basically a preseason game at that point. We'll see. Lions still the favorite to win the division, as they should be, but we'll see if the Vikings have something to say about that. We'll get into the amazing commodes. Deron Bland and the game last night. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't become a VSiN Pro subscriber yet, now's your best chance to sign up and save. Sign up on our Black Friday special today. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st for only $60. Sign up today, get access to daily best bets, unlimited access to our exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus all our betting guides and best bets for the upcoming College Bowls, the Super Bowl, and March Madness. Don't miss our best new subscriber offer of the year. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up on our Black Friday special now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Phil Bobbitt on F1, Al Bernstein, Hall of Fame boxing analysis on Benavidez Andre a little later on, as well as Felica, Dr. Bob, college football, pro football, and of course Jason Weingarten, Phil, Paul Carr in addition on Premier League. So we got a lot of guests to get to. So let's talk more about these games. Game 2 yesterday, Washington at Dallas. Silly me for thinking 13 points were too many for the Washington Commodores. The bullies just keep on bullying. Dallas 45, Washington 10 in a game that, first of all, after they traded punts, did you catch Washington immediately punted from the Dallas 44?
Oh, yeah.
Fourth and a long 2. That's the first time where you're like, here we go, Ron Rivera.
That's a way to roll in and beat up.
It's a way to try to win this
team. Yeah.
Can we just throw up? This is all you really need to know about this game. Can we throw up that stat that we had up? Because this was the most reflective Commodores game of the year. This is from OptiStats. Entering today, NFL teams were combined 57-0 over the last 25 regular seasons when having a game with these things, these characteristics: 100-plus rushing yards, 250-plus passing yards, 35-plus minutes in time of possession, no more than 25 penalty yards, and no more than 1 turnover. The Commanders did all that today and lost by 35. That's the most mind-blowing stat you'll ever get.
Yeah.
57-0 when you do those things. Not only is that the 57-1, but they got beat by 35. How do you do that, you ask? I'll tell you how. You get to 4th-and-1 and fail to convert. You matriculate, get to another 4th-and-1, fail to convert. By the way, both in shotgun, it should be pointed out. You get to a 4th-and-3 down the field, 4th-and-4, pardon me, intended for McLaurin, incomplete. So it's basically, in a nutshell, the Commodes offense is competent. Sam Howell's got moxie. He's under duress all day. They move the football, and then yesterday they would just get stopped at the end of every drive. And the defense is the biggest sieve you will ever. Dallas could have, the fact that it was only 20-10 going into the fourth quarter, because Dallas outscored them 25-0 in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it was only 20-10 after three was such a mirage yesterday. Such a mirage. And then the big thing at the end to get him to 45, Deron Bland with his fifth pick six of the year. And this move, Deron Bland's, we talked about it. We talked about it on this show. From 100-1, we got some listeners who have him at 100-1 for defensive player of the year. And we had that sort of comical discussion where it's like he's tied with four pick sixes on the year and he's got seven games left. If he gets a fifth, should he be the defensive player of the year? And Kelly Bidlin, who is the arbiter of all things awards, and who says that John Metchie's seven catches was not enough after overcoming leukemia, according to Jason Weingarten, to win a comeback player of the year. You said, no, he's got to shatter it. He's got to get two more pick sixes.
So I think the odds makers agree with me. He's moved to 13-1. So
13-1.
What does it mean, Gil? This is what I said. We talked about it.
Yeah.
If he gets one more and breaks the record, your ticket's live. You're in the running now.
I think there is
one
some
more,
truth.
One more, I think you win.
I think there is some truth to what you're saying, because, yes, he did go from 100-1 thereabouts to, by the time the game was over, it was 18-1, and now it's 13-1. But you know what I think also? It was a garbage time pick six. First of all, let me just say this. How did Sam Howell and Brian Robinson not tackle him at the end?
It's incredible.
How did that happen?
Yeah.
But I think you're right. Like, I think people will be like, well, yeah, so what? He got it from 38-10 to 45-10.
See, it's big whoop. It's funny you say that, because I actually took it the exact opposite.
Oh, really?
The fact that it happened on Thanksgiving in a Cowboys Thanksgiving game, just of like the major national notoriety of it, I actually took it. Not that it meant more than any other pick six, but like, okay, people know this name now, this record, everything that's going into this.
Give Jim Nantz credit. He was all over it as it was happening.
Yep.
Nice job, Jim Nantz. Still got your fastball.
And Romo, you've lost yours, yeah. All he can do is just sit there and compliment Jim Nantz when he does something well.
And Dolly Parton in a somewhat cringy, creepy way.
Should be pointed out. He's like, like the whole fourth quarter, he's like, man, Jim, this team's real good. You got to watch out for them in the playoffs.
He has gotten worse, hasn't he?
Well, it's just when he got right out of the league, he knew everything that was going on the field.
Here's what's
going
to happen, Jim.
Yeah, it's very clear he doesn't know that.
You're exactly right. That's exactly right. It's my Chris Cooley explanation. When Chris Cooley retired from the Skins and he was on sports radio in D.C. that very summer, so into the next football season, and when other sports talk hosts would like talk and pontificate about stuff, he goes, guys, I was just in the locker room 2 months ago. I have no idea what they're doing.
Right? Exactly.
And then the nightcap last night is the only thing I got right yesterday. San Francisco, I did go Oppo Dr. Bob on this. San Francisco all over Seattle. They led it 24-3 at the half. This was San Francisco in its full glory yesterday. Seattle did make it a little interesting in the second half. They got it to 24-13, but Brock Purdy with a dime to Ayuk late from 28, 31-13 San Francisco, a game that also featured Seattle down. You know, Seattle in the first half, they were down 24-3. They were outgained 225-56 and 16-3 in first downs. They were out first downed. And the very first drive of the second half, they punted fourth down from the plus 42.
Yep.
That's all you have to know.
That's really all you have to know. This was one of those games. Like, I ended up, after my teaser went down, I ended up betting the Niners small. And I think we both had them in the contest, right? But this was the one yesterday where you're like,
yeah.
Why didn't I bet this way more again?
Why did I empty the accounts on this?
Yeah, especially for me, it was the whole handicap was, okay, so you're telling me that we're going to have a banged up Geno Smith back there? Like, that's what I'm going up against with this Niners team rolling into town?
You got anything on Jets Dolphins today?
Nothing.
Me neither.
Absolutely nothing.
I know I talked earlier in the week, like, oh, mechanically speaking, it's so, you know, from Zach Wilson to Tim Boyle. I didn't end up with anything ultimately. This is an in game to me.
Let's see how
Tim Boyle can perform here.
I want to see that, and I want to see how the Dolphins respond after last week. I would be broke on the streets today if you could have told me before that game last week that the Raiders were only going to put up 13 points. I'd be like, well, Dolphins, like, yeah, everything I have on the Dolphins.
Yeah,
that cover didn't get home. So I don't know. I need to see this offense snap back into it to really get excited about jumping on that side.
And for those who hope for big things with Tim Boyle today, if you're backing the Jets, the Dolphins' offense typically gets all the headlines. Since getting Jalen Ramsey back in Week 8, the Dolphins have faced the Patriots, the Chiefs, and the Raiders. Not exactly the gauntlet, I understand. But they lead the league in those three games over that span. They lead the league in EPA per play allowed on defense, second in success rate allowed. The passing defense is sixth in dropback success rate, seventh in EPA per dropback, while the rushing D ranks fifth for both EPA and success rate. Dolphins second in DVOA and Pro Football Focus offense grade and EPA per play, third in offensive success rate over that span. Yeah, the defense has been good. Again, not exactly against a gauntlet of opponents, but nonetheless, they've performed well. And then Tim Boyle, by the way, if you're like a UConn fan, people who watch Tim Boyle at UConn, they're like, how did this happen? 19 career games at UConn. I get it. He went to Eastern Kentucky afterwards. He was a little bit better. But at UConn in 19 games, he was 48.4% completion rate, 4.5 yards per attempt, one career passing touchdown to 13 picks. So we'll see. He's been a backup with the Lions. He's been a backup with the Packers. I'm aware, but I'm just saying that was his biggest body of work.
There's something to be said about a backup quarterback where I'm going to give Boyle some props here. If you know your backup quarterback talent level, and if you can just get in the league and attach yourself to a team that's got a stud quarterback and you're just the guy who knows the playbook in
what
and
a gig.
Out, it's a great gig,
what
right?
A gig.
So that was him with Rodgers in Green Bay, and you've been following around in Hackett. Like, he's got, they're always going to be attracted to people that they know are familiar with what you run.
Matt,
you know?
Flynn parlayed into a multi-million dollar contract for like one great game, right?
Yeah, he's my hero.
By the way, were you, I don't know if people are interested in this, but something, file it under the category of I'm interested in it. Do you know why this game ended up being an afternoon game on a Black Friday?
No, but like I did put together the Amazon Prime thing, and I'm like, that's genius. That's genius.
It's right. It's twofold. It was an 11-year.
I don't know why it's noon, though. Like, well, I don't know why it's the afternoon.
Okay, so that's the first answer. There's a couple old things from the 60s. There's something called the Sports Broadcasting Act of 1961, basically designed to protect high school and college football.
So for high school football.
Okay. So no NFL game. First of all, there was an amendment to it where you couldn't have an NFL game on a Friday. The reason we don't have NFL games on Fridays generally is because of something in 1966, which was an amendment, Congress's sports broad to the Sports Broadcasting Act, which said you can't have a pro football game within 75 miles of a high school or college game. And so the NFL basically ceded Friday. But then there's the additional, the earlier one was, you can't have it if you can have it. This was before the amendment. If you are going to have it Friday, you can't have it before 7 p.m. So both of those two things worked out. So it's now an earlier game. And then it's the whole Amazon thing, which paid over $100 million for the contract. And they're like, for over $11 billion for the contract. And they're like, we'll pay you an extra $100 million to have this Friday. There's going to be QR codes all over the game today. You can shop at home. It's going to be a whole thing today. There you go. There's your background on that. Jason Weingarten next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we got to take a break and talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. We get tweets at Beating the Book. We also get text, Skelly. This is from fashion stylist Deborah Song, who says, ready for this? For the love of money, please button one more button, just one. And so I did. And so I did. These are the tweets. Always appreciated at Beating the Book.
That second button, man, it's tough to figure
out. It's tough on this because the table is at a level where the top of the laptop hits you at a point where it looks like you have a plunging collar.
Yeah, like you got the Richard Jefferson going on. Just all the way down to the belly button.
Got the Richard Jefferson. Except he could get away with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of us cannot. This is from Kenneth 913. Jared Goff. Regarding Jared Goff yesterday, this is what I sent my family survivor pool thread. Will the real Jared Goff please stand up? Please stand up. Can I have your attention, please? It's referring to Eminem there. Different uniform, same quarterback in prime time and under stress. Wait till he gets to a cold weather game, although he may never with that schedule. I think there's one, if I'm not mistaken. Phil Weiss, would you stop apologizing to Lions backers, Gil? This is big boy gambling. If you can't move on from a loss, get out of the game. I wasn't apologizing for the backers, Phil Weiss. I was apologizing to the survivor. Not apologizing, actually. I was just supporting the survivor players. Couldn't care less about the backers. We're all big boys on that. But it's the survivor players. Man, oh man. Who a full season or anyway, 3 months of life counting on this game only to get torpedoed. LFC title records. A big shout out to A Numbers Game for putting me on to Deron Bland for Defensive Player of the Year at 100-1. Before yesterday's game, it has now plummeted to 13-1. I look forward to debating the importance of tackles versus pick sixes. Alan Mitchell. Yeah, that's what it's going to come down to. Alan Mitchell, your F1 guy, Phil Bobbitt, by the way, has already paid off on his head-to-head practice from last night overnight in Abu Dhabi. This ain't this AM. He's a great he's having a great run. Happy holidays. Hashtag Kathmandu, he says. And then angriest guy in Kentucky. We're allowed to read one of his tweets a day, right? Do we quota one on him?
Yeah, sure. you just can't Rod Burgundy is.
No, you can't. He said these coaches are a joke. Have to be the smartest guy in the stadium. Just can't get a first down. Greg Olsen was terrible yesterday, like the rest of the guys who do color in the NFL. Do you know who's good at their job? The water bottle girl. Maybe I shouldn't have read that. Bill Hooker, Romo's comment on Deron Bland's INT return. Anyone else would have been tackled. The guy Bland juked was Sam Howell, for God's sakes. I will say this, though. The fact that Howell, I'll say it again, Howell and Robinson, how did they not get him? Robinson was particularly egregious. Like, he had a complete angle, and he just goes flying by him.
Yeah,
so bad.
I forgot about that part of it. Yeah, Romo's like, he looks like a running back or a great wide receiver out there. You're like, all right, Tony, calm down, man.
Dolly Parton, for God's sakes, Jim Nantz. Have you seen her? Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. He is the great Jason Weingarten. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. Deron Bland, huh? He's that's a good ticket, 100-1.
You were not on it. I expected that to be a Jason Weingarten special. That would be something you would suss out. You don't have him?
Nothing. I mean, maybe I'll jump in now because, you know, 5 interception return touchdowns is something you really can't overlook. But it's an interesting argument because, you know, if I was a voter, would I value the interceptions and the touchdown returns? I think I would because, you know, this isn't an award for theoretical stuff. It's an award for performance. And, you know, a guy goes out there and scores 5 touchdowns on your defense. It's got to be worth something or the award shouldn't exist.
You remember, Jason, how you gave Kelly, how you set up Kelly, really, and how you said to him, oh, 7 catches for John Metchie's not enough after leukemia to get him to come back with you?
Yeah.
So Kelly believes that Deron Bland needs to shatter the record and needs one more pick six to actually get it.
Hold on. Let me clarify. When we first brought this up, I said, you know what? I think we talked about it when he had a share of the record. And I said, I think for him to be legit win this award, he's going to have to be too
and
clear.
And the odds reflect what you're saying.
I think one put you in the race.
Yeah.
One puts you in the conversation.
Yeah. I just bring it up because Jason was the one who set you up before. Yeah.
I think he's got a chance. I think, like you said, the odds kind of indicate that he's still got a ways to go. But, you know, if you're going to run out there and bet it today, you're doing the futures wrong. You know, you wanted to be out there betting 100-1.
That's right.
Yesterday. You know, get your process better. If I'm going to go out there and maybe bet it, doesn't mean you should. It means I'm an idiot.
Hashtag get your process better.
In the span of 90 seconds, Jason basically said, don't do as I do. Do as I say.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, I can do these things because I'm me. You know, it's just, but I'm not saying I'm going to go out and bet it. I'm just saying, like, you know, you get the FOMO now. I understand. Even I get it.
Is Metchie for Comeback Player of the Year, is that your longest shot that you have in pocket that you stump for? Is that the one that you're most sort of hoping for of everything you have?
Well, I think I have like a couple $100 on that. So it's not like make or break anything.
Right.
But no, I don't think he's going to win. I mean, I think the market has kind of circled around Damar Hamilton, right or wrong. You know, he has played. He has kind of checked off that box. He's back on the field. I think it's up for debate. Like, you could have a legitimate debate whether or not he actually deserves the award. But, you know, I think we've kind of determined that this award is essentially made up anyway. So
if Jason Weingarten had an MVP vote, who would be your number one right now if the vote was right now?
the number one, I'd have to sit down and look at the numbers because, you know, Lamar Jackson probably deserves it with the performance he's had this year and the way his team's playing and everything. But, you know, you got like the top five contenders. You got Dak kind of in the race now. Jalen Hurts, obviously Mahomes. Mahomes got a couple big games coming up. So it's far from settled. I think Dak kind of picked up the most equity in his futures yesterday. Purdy, they played great, but it's just, I don't feel like Purdy's going to get over that hump. Do you?
I mean, I kind of do. I kind of feel like the splintered vote this year, he's going to be the beneficiary. I just have this feeling that he's going to be like everybody's number two. That's my guess. And that number one's going to be splintered. I'm just speculating. I just have that hunch. What did you have? There's 13 college football games today, obviously. Rivalry week in full bloom tomorrow. Still a whole slate of week 12 NFL games, including the Black Friday game today. Do you have anything in college or the Dolphins-Jets game today?
I bet over 24 in the Iowa game.
You couldn't resist, could you?
24? Are you what are they? Were they playing in a snowstorm and a no 45 degree wind?
No, nope, it's just
where are they playing this game?
It's just Iowa and Nebraska. That's all it is. Iowa football.
I don't understand this total. Are both teams just going to run up the middle for 60 minutes or something? Like, I mean, I'd love to see that. That's my kind of football.
Well, Iowa keeps getting the totals keep getting lower and lower, and they keep going under and under. And so now we've gotten to the point of farcical. Right. Will Hill, our buddy, he's doing a whole 10 point teaser in which he's wheeling the Iowa Nebraska over at, I think at the time it was like 26. So I want to say it's like 16.5 that he has it at. But his theory being if it's 7-7, he wins. Right.
So I didn't wheel it in the 10 point teaser, but I certainly did. Use the 10-point teaser to tease 24.5 down to 14.5. And, you know, people are going to say, oh, you can't tease totals. You can't do this. I'm going to say, fine. If teasing 24 down to 14 or 14.5 is wrong, then I'm wrong. You know, like I could live with that. I don't care what your strategy says,
yeah.
What the math says. Like, I'll do it all day.
And I would agree with you because there's not enough sample size for anybody to make that too cool for school claim, right? You can't sit there and be like, well, historically speaking, when totals wheeled down to 14.5, right? Like, you can't say that. What else did you do today?
Not much, surprisingly, for such a big day. I had a lot of action yesterday. I had a lot of action on Wednesday. I had a ton of college basketball on Wednesday. I don't even know what I was doing. So today is actually kind of a slow day. I am excited for the weekend. You know, it's busy weekend. Got the golf going all day in Johannesburg and Australia and everywhere.
Sure,
but
sure.
Surprisingly slow day for me today.
What about tomorrow and Sunday? What about tomorrow and Sunday?
I got Alabama. Alabama's going to beat Auburn. I think they can probably cover the spread. I think it's like up to 10 or 11 right now. Is that, do you have that in front of you? I don't have all my numbers in front of me this morning, unfortunately. But then on Sunday, you know, the cool thing about the NFL schedule this week is they kind of front loaded all the big favorite games and everything on Sunday. Like, there's no big dogs. I think there's one money line favorite under or over minus 200 on Sunday. So it's actually a pretty competitive NFL Sunday. I'm excited for that. I think there's some decent matchups. We had a bunch of non-division stuff the last couple of weeks. Now we're going to get some more exciting stuff.
Alabama at 13, by the way, against Auburn right now, consensus.
Oh, it's gone up a little
bit. Yeah. By the way, that's absolutely true of Sunday in the NFL. My strategy was to try to avoid as many games in the contest, in the Circa Millions contest, and like front loaded to yesterday's games. That strategy does not have appeared to work for me. I was 1-2 yesterday. Yeah. Detroit.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Detroit getting the best of me in the entire world. Jason, appreciate it. Good luck with all your bets this weekend, man.
Thank you. I'll talk to you later. Have a good post-Thanksgiving weekend.
You too. The great Jason Weingarten, everybody. We'll come back. Paul Carr on the Premier League next.
A numbers game on VSiN. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's so much to be thankful for. Family, friends, food, NFL football all week long. DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping your Thanksgiving week full of action. New customers can bet just $5 on the NFL to score 150 instantly in bonus bets. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Why don't you? And use code Vegas. That's code Vegas only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. Steve Fezzik has texted in talking about Survivor, just sort of echoing what I was saying earlier. Survivor Advantage players, meticulous planning and tracking and mapping the entire season. Gone with the wind. It was like Sherman marching through Atlanta, burning Detroit to the ground in this case. It's so true, man. That is, though, I just want to, again, send a shout out to Derek Stevens and everybody responsible for the fact that they do a Survivor contest. I know that there's Survivor contests all around the country, and our talking about Circa Survivor sort of acts as a proxy for the discussion of all Survivors. It is the, it remains, and I was not part of this, you were not part of this, we didn't get far this year. It remains the cruelest of all gambling defeats. Even if you bet something, let's say you have five dimes on something. Well, five dimes is a lot, so maybe not that. But any bad beat that you have is cruel in the moment. But to live with something as long and to then have it go by the wayside is just such a cruel contest. But what makes it so, the mental gymnastics of deciding who to pick every week and the strategy, these remaining entries, whoever, by the way, think about it. Some people have today's game. They have two games to get through before we come back on air Monday.
I know.
What's the over under if right now there are, let me get this right, 154 remaining entries at this very moment? It's got to be under 100 by Monday, right?
Yeah.
Although I will say this, last year we said the same thing and nobody got eliminated the Sunday after the Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but we kept talking earlier. Look at that Sunday slate. Good luck.
Brutality.
Good luck.
But if Minnesota and Tennessee get through, maybe a whole bunch of them do. If not all, so we'll see. I don't know. I mean, who expected that yesterday with Detroit losing? Anyway, let's talk some Premier League soccer. He's a big Dolphins. Did I say soccer? What just happened to me right there? Premier League soccer with Paul Carr, everybody, from Topeka, Kansas. He's the host of the Expected Value podcast and, of course, works at True Media Networks. He joins us to give us his picks. By the way, he's had four straight winning appearances on this here show.
Bam!
It should be pointed out. How you doing, Paulie?
I'm good. Ate too much food yesterday. Fell asleep watching football with the family, so it was great.
Oh, that's perfect. That's what Thanksgiving's all about. Is it your favorite holiday? What's your number one holiday? Christmas, Thanksgiving? What is it? Tu B'Shvat? What is it?
I'd still go with Christmas. I will say when you have kids, like, Christmas changes a little bit just because their excitement and joy is so great.
Oh,
that it's a lot of fun to see them enjoy everything and kind of remember what it was like for you. So I would vote for Christmas for me right now.
There is nothing like seeing Christmas through a child's eyes.
Oh, totally.
It's beautiful.
Yep. And I understand that. Yep. So for me, not having kids, it drops down. It's like Thanksgiving, Halloween, then Christmas maybe. And then like New Year's.
Halloween's that big for you? Really?
I like Halloween.
You don't get dressed up though, do you?
I'm not going to be the guy who's just sitting here dressed up, but like I'll go to a party and dress up.
You're not that guy.
Not that guy. Yeah.
Who would do that? Before we get into your picks and go for a fifth straight winning appearance here on the show, and you do have two picks tomorrow and one pick on Sunday. You're a Dolphins guy. Yes, they get by the Raiders last week. They do not cover, though. You got to be thrilled with everything you've seen this year so far, I would imagine. Yeah. How do you feel about today's Black Friday game, the first ever Black Friday game in the NFL, where the Dolphins are 9.5-point road favorites against Tim Boyle and the Jets?
Points are a lot. I mean, I feel pretty good about the game in general. Can the Jets possibly score more than like 20 points? And can the Dolphins not score 20 points? They both seem unlikely. I don't know. It's a lot of points. Like I said, the Dolphins didn't look great last week. It kind of smells a lot like the Dolphins are up 14, 16 points late and the Jets go down and get a meaningless touchdown or something. But love the position they're in. The next five games for the Dolphins are all, they should win them all. I mean, Jets, Commodes, Titans, Jets. The next four games, sorry. So they're in great shape. And the higher seed you can get, et cetera, the better they're in position for a playoff run.
I would just like to thank you for calling the Washington franchise by its correct name. Thank you so much for doing that. Appreciate that.
I'm here to oblige you, Gil.
I love you for that. All right, so Premier League, this is interesting. So help me out. We're coming off an international week, and Champions League is next week. So what does, we always talk about it like in the NFL, oh, it's a sandwich spot, it's a look ahead. What does this do to Premier League lineups?
The biggest thing to keep an eye on is injuries. So we'll get into Man City, Liverpool, for example. But Erling Haaland did not play the second game of the international break with Norway because he had a foot, you know, injury of some sort. All indications are he's going to be fine, but it's injuries. It's, you know, guys coming back from South American qualifying who may get a rest just because they went so far in such a short time, or maybe they come off the bench. So it's always a little bit weird. And you throw in for the top teams Champions League on Tuesday or Wednesday that, you know, that's game, this is game 5 of 6 in the group stage. So it's crunch time for a lot of them. So I'm always a little bit cautious placing bets well ahead of time for these weekend matches in between, because sometimes you're just not quite sure who's going to be available.
All right. So let us begin. You just alluded to Man City. That is tomorrow against Liverpool. You have a play in this game.
Yeah, this is operating on the assumption that Haaland's going to play, which all news reports as of this morning are that he will. It's a big game. Man City, Liverpool, first place, second place. I like Man City in this game at -135. And both these teams have been good attacking. Their defense has been a little bit sketchy, or at least sketchy by their own standards this season. Liverpool has definitely shifted to the best defense is a good offense kind of thing. They have the most shots in the league, et cetera. But I just have a little bit more faith in Man City. You know, their defense, again, it's good. It's not Man City great, but they're tinkering, and I think they can figure it out, or have a better chance of figuring it out. And City's at home. I mean, they've won 23 straight home games. If Liverpool can go in there, get a point, then I tip my cap to them. But I play City to win at -135.
Yeah, I sort of downplayed this game. This is Man City with 28 points on top of the Premier League table. Liverpool tied for second with Arsenal with 27 points. Both off to great starts through 12 games of the 38-game Premier League schedule. My Arsenal guy in the valet in my building, he's always talking Arsenal.
How's he feeling?
He's a complete defeatist. Like, he has no hope whatsoever. Is that accurate?
So he's a real Arsenal fan.
He's a real Arsenal fan. Yeah.
No, it's not. I mean, they're a point back, and they've been playing fairly well, but not quite as well, and not running quite as well as last year. But you're still a point back before Christmas. Like, they're not dead, but there's also, you know, 5 teams within 3 points of the top. So it's getting busy up there. So they're not dead by any stretch, but yeah, true Arsenal fan, I would expect to be defeatist like that.
Yeah, that's him. Okay, that's the big one tomorrow. You're on Man City. Paul got it at -135. Shop around, of course, on these. And then also on Saturday, wouldn't be a Paul Carr segment without a total. What you got?
Yeah, here's your first total. Everton, Manchester United, over 2.5. On a Saturday, United's kind of an injury mess, especially in the midfield. No Casemiro, no Eriksen. They've been vulnerable on the counterattack, which is exactly how Everton wants to play. Dominic Calvert-Lewin is Everton's guy up top. He's been playing really well and giving them kind of the attacking edge and ability that they need. And United's got Champions League again early next week. They're in a must-win spot. They're going to Turkey, I believe, to play Galatasaray. They have to win that game basically to advance. To get through the group stage. They're not in good shape there. So I just think there's going to be goals here one way or the other. And I'll also throw in, like, you look at the table and you see Everton's in 19th place now. Well, they're playing much more like a mid-table team. They got deducted 10 points for violating the Premier League's financial fair play rules. So don't be thinking that this is a, you know, next to last place type of team. They're in the middle of the table by, you know, any stats, and they were even before they got points deducted. So, but I like goals here one way or the other, over 2.5, -130.
We have this listed on the graphic as Saturday, but it's actually Sunday. Is it not, that game between Everton and Man U?
I thought it was Saturday, but I may have been in turkey coma last night when turkey I was sending coma. The notes along.
Yeah, turkey coma. We allow that. Sunday, Tottenham and Aston Villa. You're going over on this, but at an even higher number.
Yeah, I'm going over 3.5 here at +130. Villa games have been the highest scoring in the league this season. 12 games, 46 goals. So, you know, do the math, almost 4 goals per game. And 8 of 12 have had 4 goals. It's not like they racked them all up in one game or two. Only 4 of Tottenham's 12 have had 4, but 4 more had 3. And the underlying numbers suggest that those easily could have gone over as well. Tottenham's a little banged up, but their manager just goes for it. Postecoglou is the new guy who's got them set up pretty well. They tend to attack more than defend. Sets up well for Villa to attack on the counter. And, you know, kind of anecdotally, Villa wants to be a top 4 team. They're in 5th place right now. This is a game you got to go get a win. Tottenham's in 4th. Villa is in 5th. So I think there's going to be goals here one way or the other. So I went over 3.5 at +130.
All right. Tomorrow, Paul is on Man City. We're reviewing Man City versus Liverpool. What sucks about this, though, is it's 4:30 a.m. Pacific.
Oh, it's brutal.
Brutal. 7:30 a.m. on the East Coast. So you got to wake up early, even on the East Coast, to watch this one tomorrow. But you'll be up for college football anyway. So East Coast folks might be able to swing it. And then Saturday, the two totals, Everton Man U over 2.5. Tottenham Aston Villa over 3.5. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it as always. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. Go Dolphins.
Paul Carr, at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R on Twitter. Dan Lebatard is next. For those of you listening on the DK Network, Kelly and I coming back with college football talk. Chris Felica next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.